Welcome to the Quest of Fishing Adventures podcast, Chapter 4. Welcome back to another Quest Fishing Adventures podcast. I hope you guys are doing well, and if you've been fishing since my last podcast, let's hope you put a few on the bank. Well, today, as you can see by the title, I'm down on the noisy lake and I'm fishing with Benny Boy, just me and him. Just got in, we've just done a walk around to see if we can see any fish. We've seen a couple of shows, so I'm just walking back to the van, get the van and drive over to these spots, and hopefully we'll have a few fish out between us. That would be nice. But you've got to listen to this podcast to find out if it happens or not. So let's do this. Right, the time now is 5 minutes past 12. So we've been here since, what time we get here? We got here about half past seven in the end. And I think I eventually got the rods out probably about 8 o'clock once we'd walked round, found the fish. Because where we chose, they were all like jumping around in one particular part. And Ben decided, he said, I'll go in there. I said, fine, not a problem at all. I'll quite happily go in the snag swim in the corner. That's where I've fished quite a few times in the past now and had some nice fish out of that. In fact, last time we was here, Alex ended up getting a fish out of that swim as well in the corner. It does fish. It's a really good swim. I really like it. So Ben went in that swim with all the fish. They were literally just crashing out in front of him. It was like, oh my God, like, you know, this is definitely going to happen. And then we spoke to this guy. Funny enough, let me start again and rewind that come again. On the way down here, Ben goes, have you seen the photo of that big fish that came out of here yesterday? It was like 37 pounds. I said, oh no, it showed me the picture. I was like, oh my God, that's really nice. And then when we were basically like standing in these swims, looking out, you know, just watching these fish ground, this guy pulled up behind us and it was him. And we started talking to him for ages, and he was like telling us a bit more about the lake, stuff I didn't know and that, which was really good. And he was actually going to go in the swim I was in, but obviously I'd gone in there, and he was like, it was obviously really cool about it and everything. But that was quite a bizarre moment, like, you know, him coming around, meeting him. I guess, what was it? Was it really bizarre? You've turned up at the fishing lake with a guy where a guy goes fishing. I don't know, but it was quite good to meet him anyway. So yeah, he went, and then literally, I'd say probably like 15 minutes after he left, my right hand side rod went. Do you know, I haven't even said what I put on my rods. So basically, my right hand side rod, this is what happens when you catch up on a podcast a bit later on, and I start rambling more. My right hand side rod was pushed in that hole to the right hand side there, fished on a inline 4 ounce lead spinner rig SLK pop up. Left hand side rod out to the far reeds in front of me, and a hole in there, bushwhacked out, all the extensions I've got, and exactly the same on that as well. So let's go forward now. So yeah, so about 15 minutes after he left, my right hand side rod just ripped off completely, hit into this fish, and it, oh my word, it was like giving me a proper battle. And like I said, Ben, this is definitely feels like a big one, mate. This feels like a decent fish here. So I'm battling this fish. It tries trying to take me back in the snags, get out of the snags. It's trying to take me into the reeds, playing it in front of me. You know what it's like when you got a fish on and it feels quite decent. What could be like 30 seconds to a minute of playing a fish just feels like an hour. It really did. So I was playing this fish for ages. Finally won the battle, got him in. Ben scooped it up. And we're like, oh my God, that is a decent fish. That is a nice fish. We're like, what is it? What do you reckon? 25 plus? I said, So I don't know, I really hope it is. I said I'd be really happy with a 25 pound plus. Obviously I'd be happy with any size carp. So we got it in the net, got it on the mat. This is what happened actually. So we got it in the net. I kind of missed that. See, this is what happens when you like don't podcast it as you do it. We got it in there, and Ben basically said to me, look, put your rod back out again, and you know, you'd be silly not to. They're clearly on the feed straight away. So basically, got the rod all prepped up, put it back out of the bushwhacker. I don't even know why I forgot this part of the story. Got the rod back out on the spot, bringing the bushwhacker in, probably got about four sections in. Bear in mind, I've used all my sections. I must have about 15, 14 sections or something. literally, like, Ben goes, your rod's gone. The same rod that I just put out literally just bent right round. I said, mate, get my bushwhacker in. So I'm fighting this fish, and this fish had literally taken me right into the snag straight away. Ben's pulling my bushwhacker in. Ben's going, keep the pressure on. I'm holding this pressure up, but I don't know if it's snagged up. He goes, keep the pressure on. So I'm trying to get the pressure on this carp. Literally, I could just feel it all of a sudden edging out towards me, and then boom, it edged out, and I was like, Ben, it's out. It darted straight for the bull rushes in, and it's trying to get, and I'm like holding up really hard, trying to fight this fish, pulling it. Like, yes, and I finally won the battle and got it out in open water. Ben then gets the bush racking really quickly then, and Ben then runs around to get his net. So then we finally net this fish, and then we've got two carp in my swim. Basically in front of me, I was like, oh my god, this is like, feels like a red letter day already. And we already knew this was a 20 as well. So we get out the first fish, and look, let's get his photos done now. Get his weighed up and get the photos done. So we got the first we're fishing, weighed it, can't remember, it went 24 pounds something. Can't remember what the something was now. Mint of a fish, absolutely beautiful, well chuffed. Photos will go up on Instagram, Crest Fishing Adventures Podcast. Got the photos of that, absolutely buzzing. Got that one back, got a video of it swimming off as well. I'm not too sure how that, haven't looked at that video yet. I don't think it came out too great, that video, for what Ben said, because he filmed it and watched it. Then weighed the second one. The second one went 22 pounds something, can't remember what it was. Banger of a fish as well. Banger of a fish, that will also be up on Instagram. Banger of a fish, absolutely buzzing. Got some photos of that and put that back out. So, got that rod back out after that, and then that was that basically. And then it wasn't to probably about an hour and a half later, and my left hand side rod, the one rod that's on the bull rushes, ripped off as well, straight in the bull rushes. I was on my rod straight away, got it out. It kind of got snagged up in there a bit, and it was like really, because it was really trying to find it, but I got it out quite quick. It darted out and pretty much just swam straight towards me to the snags on the right hand side, literally in the margins down there. It went in there, and I was battling it in there trying to pull it out. Literally, I was holding on the pressure, and I had to hold the pressure on because it's so snaggy around there. I thought, if I give you some, you're going in there and I'm losing you. In a worst case scenario, you're going to snap up with a hook in your mouth, and obviously I don't want that. So I kept the pressure on, finally got him out, turned him round, and kind of netted him quite quick. And bingo, this one is a banger, Lee. You have got a banger in there, boy. I went, really? I said, look, it was fighting hard, but it didn't feel like it fought as hard as the first one did, like one that went 24. But, and then we got it in the net, looked at it, and I said, oh my God, look at the size of that carp. It was absolutely beautiful. So basically got that out, weighed it, and it went 28 pounds. And I can't remember, 28 pounds, 28 pounds. I can't remember. I have to ask Ben. He's gone away checking out his room. 28 pounds something. So got the photos of that. And I'll tell you what, that was a comment. Absolutely beautiful. Photos will be going up on Instagram. I can't believe so far I've had 3 20s out in this short space of time. I'm absolutely buzzing. Honestly, buzzing. So fingers crossed I can get another one. There's an update, guys. What an update that was. Right, it's 2 o'clock. Just thought I'd give you guys a little bit of an update. No more fish to report yet, but needless to say, I'm still buzzing, absolutely buzzing about the fish I've had so far. The bigger one was 28.4. I mean, like, come on, that's just a decent fish. I really do feel like he could do a 30 today, if my luck's in, or if I haven't done all my luck yet so far. But only time will tell. Both rods have done a few little bleeps here and there. I'm just about to redo my right hand side rod. So I walk around the sides where the snags are, where it is, and you can actually see in there, and there's fish moving around in there. So what I want to do is put it out again, but I've put a lot more crushed up like dust boily in it, and that's what I'm going to put out, just to try and pull them out of them, the bull rushes and the solid snags, and bring them into the open snags where my bait is, and hopefully get them on it. I'm wondering, the last fish I had literally in there took me straight into the snags, and I'm wondering, I really had to bully him out, put some force in him to like pressure to pull him out. So I wonder if that's like, you know, spooked the carp off earlier, you know, from the spot there. But I'm thinking like a good dusting of like dust crumbed up boily in there might be enough to to pull them out with like fresh bait as such and fresh, you know, smells in there. Also, I was thinking like maybe the little fish in the lake, you know, like your roach and rudd and all that might have also eaten up all the little bits of body anyway. So that's obviously taken away, you know, the scent that's in there. So I don't think you can do any harm with just topping up basically. Fresh bait, fresh rig, fresh lot, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm going to try. Ben, unfortunately, hasn't had a fish yet, which I'm completely gutted. It's horrible. I've said it before, when you go fishing with your mates and, like, you know, you're the only one that's catching, you kind of want, you know, both of you to catch. Currently, he's trying to spot out loads, or well, you're not trying to, he's currently spotting out loads of dog biscuit to see if they're, see if they can get them on top, but nothing's come up so far. So that would be also great if we could get them on top and get one off the top. But yeah, only time will tell. Surely it will catch one. As we all know from the previous podcast here, it is definitely more of a mornings and in like early evening dusk lake. So fingers crossed it's going to happen. So let's see what happens, guys. Well, it's 2:32 and I've just put another carp back. Absolutely buzzing. £15 something. Can't remember. Not remembering the somethings today. Absolutely buzzing. That's four carp, wow, and all decent ones as well. So yeah, I really do feel like I could get another one out of there. I do, and I wouldn't say that otherwise. They're definitely moving around in there. It's definitely the spot. I'm buzzing. I'm speechless, guys. Absolutely speechless. Come on, the carp. Yes, bruv. Right, the time is now 16:56. Nothing else to report. Haven't really had many more bleeps. It's gone quite quiet, but I'm really hoping, as I said before, that come like the last hour or the hour before it starts getting dark, that it does pick up, because it normally does on this lake. It's normally like a morning and dusk, or should I really just say a dusk and dawn lake. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case. Unfortunately, as you guys know, if you listen to my podcast, this lake is capped. There's no night fishing, and at the moment we have to be off at 8 o'clock. So I don't think it's pitch black at 8, off the top of my head. I don't think it is at the moment. So we will see. Ben has now moved swims. He moved about an hour ago. Literally, like the snag swims, like in the corner of the lake, but you can fish, like sort of like either side of it, in that, if that makes sense, because of the bull rushes and the snags that come out, they sort of break it up. So he's actually fishing the other side because of all the fish that are moving in there, and it kind of makes sense for him to move in there, you know, and try and wangle one out. He desperately wants to get a bite, and I don't blame him. He doesn't want to go home, you know, with a blank on his belt. So I've got my fingers crossed that he's going to catch one. Catching one off the tops, not happened. Nothing came up. We got a big bucket of dog biscuit. Ben put out half a bucket of that. Nothing came up. A few seagulls come down, grabbed a few. That was it. But you know, that was it. That was it, basically. So, but mind you, saying that, we was talking to this gentleman before, and he said that a lot of carp have already come out off the top, like, you know, a few weeks back. And he said, like, before he'd even done it, he goes, I think it's like blown a bit at the moment. They're wised up to it. So that probably answers why. They weren't taking them from the top, but hey ho, I'm sure they will in the coming weeks again. So yeah, there's a little bit of an update. I'm not too sure if I'm going to redo them. I might just keep them where they are. I feel confident they're sitting right. But yeah, time will tell. If I change my mind, I'll let you guys know. Well, it's 19:28, fastly drawing to the end of the session. No more fish to report. I've had a few liners on the right-hand side rod. I really feel if I could stay longer than 8, if I could do the night, I think I'd definitely get a couple more out. I really do. The fish know, like, when this lake closes, I think that's when they probably start coming out a bit more, hence why, you know, it's a dusk and dawn lake. They'll probably come out of all the bull rushes and that, and just like start feeding all the bait that's, like, you know, that's in the lake and that. So well, that's my thoughts anyway, whether it's right or not. But yeah, I just gutted that I can't stay longer than that. But it is what it is. I can't grumble because I've had a really, really good, really good session. Really good. So yeah, I shall update you guys in the next half hour, hopefully with a fish, before I have to pack up. Can't believe it. Just like that, I've just had a double hookup. literally my right hand side rod went playing that fish. It come across into open water, and I thought it picked up my other line, because it was like over that line, and it hadn't, and I didn't realise for a second. Called Ben over. Ben said, "Ben, hit my other rod." He hit my other rod. Finally managed to land the one on the right, and then the other one was just completely snagged up in the bull rushes. Basically, I lost it. We tried for a while trying to pull it out, but it felt a bit of tugging back, but nothing come from it. So we didn't manage to get one back, but we did get the other one. Didn't weigh it, probably went about 12 pound common. Really nice colours, like quite dark colours, lightly dark colours, if that makes sense. I put the photos up on Instagram. But yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. A double run right at the end. Wow. Right, I'm now packed up, and in fact, I am now home. What can I say? What a red letter day it was for me. To be fair, 5 carp, 3 20s. They went 24 pound something, 22 pound something, 28 pound 4, 15 pound something, and 12 pound something. I can't believe it. The first three, 24, 22, and 28, what magnificent fish. Absolutely stunners, really were absolute stunners, honestly. Buzzing, absolutely buzzing. I'm still speechless from it. I really am. Everything went right today, apart from a 30. that'll come. I would have loved to have done the night there. Obviously not allowed. I'd love to be back there tomorrow, but I can't, just to see if that spot was still going to produce. I'm left wondering how long they will stay, you know, in that area. I've always known that they like it in there, but it doesn't always mean you can go down there and fish that spot and catch. They clearly were on today. Me and Alex were talking earlier on the phone, and they do tend to move out of there in the day. We kind of noticed that before, but today they seem to have held up in there, which is good. It was good for me, obviously. So I'm just wondering how long they're going to be in there for. Wow, honestly, I know I keep saying it, but photos will be going up, or will probably be up now before the podcast comes out. Most of them probably will be. Chris Fishing Adventures podcast, do me a solid, go and check them out. Give them a like, give us a follow. We really would appreciate the support. That really does help support me, and if you can do that, thank you so much. Unfortunately, Ben was unable to catch one. Generally, really gutted for him. Ben's a really good angler. I've not talked about Ben too much, to be fair. Ben is a young kid, but if I knew what he knows, if I knew what I know now, if I was his age, there you go, I would be so much of a better angler now. And I put Ben's up well up there now. He's caught bigger fish than me. He's smashing it all over the place. A very competent angler. but generally gutted. Good, very, very good friend of mine. Really gutted he didn't catch today. I really thought he was going to catch in the swim he was in. When we turned up the swimming, as I said, they were boshing all out in front of that swim there. If I was given the choice, I mean, like, because I drove Ben there today, and like, even though he's got a ticket to the lakes, he's, you know, me and Alex look after Ben. He's a kid and everything, and we look, oh, kid, he's like 19, 20, 21 or something, I don't even know. He's a kid, we look after him, so I let him decide. And when we walked around the lake, when we saw the carp there, it would have put, if I was deciding what swim I was going to go in, it would have put me in a bit of a predicament, because the swim I went in today is probably my favourite swim on that lake anyway, with the carp I've caught in it in the past. But all the carp that are boshing and showing in front of that swim that he went in, I would have been unsure if what one I would have chosen, and possibly would have gone for the one he went in. Yeah, I just can't believe he didn't catch one in it. And then when he moved around the other side of the snags, I honestly thought he'd catch one there, because at that point it was obvious that they'd moved into there and they were all in there. I generally thought he'd catch one. He tried at his best. He said he could see him like knocking the rushes where he had his bait, but they didn't take it. It could have been down to the bait he was using. I think he was using 5-star baits, so it could well be that, quite possibly. I don't know.
I was using good old SLK DNA baits on this, and they're doing the goods again. I should also add as well is the boiling mix that I've been using. I think I have said it in my other podcast, but the boiling mix I've been using, so I've been crushing up and using in my my bushwhacker. And once again, the bushwhacker. I'm sorry, I've jumped around a little bit. The bushwhacker, absolutely unbelievable. You could not cast a rod where I was in the hole I was fishing. But I was saying to like Ben, like, you just can't cast in there. It's impossible, because literally it's loads of snags in there with bull rushes with an overhanging tree, but a big like cave like system going in there. But not dark. You can see because it's like, you know, bull rushes and overhanging tree that's gone in the water, blah blah blah. But it's like a cave. But you can't cast in there, but you can push a bushwhacker in there, and the fish just feel safe in there. Like, you could cast up to it and maybe to a degree to get like try and drop it at an angle to get into it a little bit, but to actually go right in it, because it goes back quite deep. That's where the bushwhacker comes into its own element. It really does, and that's put them on the bank today. I kind of lost my trail. I thought where I was a second ago. I do apologise. I think I was talking about Ben. Yeah, but when Ben moved around the other side of the snags, we knew they were all in there. I generally thought he was going to catch one then, and I'm so gutted that he didn't. But I'm hoping he's catching one tonight. We're packed up. He's jumped on a water that he's fishing in at the moment. He's doing a bit of a campaign on. There's some nice 40s in there, and I really hope that he catches that fish tonight, because he deserves it, to be fair. But anyway... I think I saw something about my boilies as well, yeah. So my boilie mix, that's what I was saying. My boilie mix, I think I mentioned this before, it's literally it's SLK in there, SLK 15mm. I've got bug 15mm in there, because I'm basically moving on to bug and SLK mixed together. And I had some leftover krill from sticky baits, not much left, so it's all mixed into that as well. But I think I talked about this before, like, it's the krill and SLK, it's SLK squid liver and krill, so it kind of goes well anyway. So I've used up that and I'm mixing it all together. But going forward, I am going to be using SLK and bug together. I think that's a good mixture in my opinion. It's worked so far, because I've been using bug, as I said, with the mix. Not really talk too much about it, but it is doing the job. Maybe I should talk about it a little bit more with what I'm doing. Also, it's worth mentioning as well, was one thing I did forget to say, and I do apologise, this wasn't my best podcasting episode on what I'm actually doing. Ben's always gone on about the noodle rigs, and I have talked about noodle rigs before in the past, and I kind of like did, I bought some noodles, tied some rigs, and really only tried it maybe once, and I think I blanked or twice and blanked and lost the confidence in it. But Ben's been going on about a lot lately. So I had these, the three carp out, and I said, right, I'm going to give the noodles a go. So I literally basically swapped my two rods with a noodle rig. And so I had the four carp out, I think it was three or four. Anyway, so I basically tied up this noodle rig and put them on each of my rods. And it was getting that, and it was at the end of the session, I said, oh, Ben, like, you know, I just don't know about these noodle rigs, even though you say how good they are. I do believe you, but I really want to catch one to see how good they are. And then I had that double hookup on them, literally at the end. So it kind of gave me that confidence in them. And I'm not kidding you, to be fair. I'm really not kidding you. Ben's always harped on about this with the noodle rig, about how it literally just locks into the bottom of the lip, literally. And the fish that I landed, obviously, we lost one because it went into the snags and that. So I couldn't, it doesn't obviously give you like 100% like, you know, like proof that it does lock into the bottom lip. But he says all the fish he catches on the noodle rig literally lock right into the bottom lip. This one was locked right at the bottom. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. It was a really good hook hold. And me and Ben were talking about it on the way home. And I said, oh, Ben, I said, you know what? Like, the noodle rig looks a bit strange, but if you can hook a fish in the bottom lick, it's so much better for the fish, because when you fish get caught into the side of the mouth, they tend to, you know, they rip a little bit more because it's more fleshy there. Like in the bottom lick, you know, you're hooking into the harder skin as well. So it's, you know, it's kind of like less likely to rip over from the side of the skin, because, you know, we all hate ripping carp's mouth. And obviously we all carry like carp care kits on us. We do today, like I put some on my carp today. And that's another thing I will say, if you don't use a carp care kit, please do, because... What I do, Alex does, Ben does, we all, like, we do when we go fishing. We always check the carp over. If we see any injuries on it that it may have, we always clean them up with the carp care kit, even if it wasn't us, obviously. You know, it's all about looking after the fish and looking after the future of the fish and the fishery, and you know, and the and people coming through and teaching them, you know, the proper ways to look after fish. But yeah, the noodle rig, so I digressed a little bit there. The noodle rig, absolutely amazing hook hold, and it's something I'm going to look to use going forward as well. Now I've got a bit more confidence in it, and also it's less, there's less mechanics on it. There's less, like, no, less swivels, less like the little where you do the quick change hooks. It's just all less components on it, which is what I really like as well. So there's less to go wrong. I didn't say the first fish I had, it bent my hook. My hook had bent. That's the first time I had that. Yeah, granted, I had to give it a bit of give it oomph. The second fish I had, the component that goes onto the hook eye to hold it in to do the quick change, that had bent out a little bit. So it's like, if you can minimize things like, obviously the hook holds, you know, the bent hooks, you can't really minimize that apart from using a different hook, which I used Kamakura hooks when I tied up the noodle rig. And the other ones were a pinpoint. Now, I'm not going to knock pinpoint hooks. I really do like the pinpoint hooks because they're really sharp, and I'm going to carry on using them as well. But I do want to start using the Kamakuras a little bit more, especially on the noodle rigs, because they just feel a little bit tougher. So yeah, it just feels like there's less to go wrong with them, in my opinion. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I've gone on a little bit there, and hopefully I've given you a bit more information that I lacked in today's session. I guess it's just the way it goes sometimes, which I apologise that I didn't, but hopefully I've given you a lot more information on it. But please, I can't remember if I said this already, please do me a solid, go and check out my Instagram, give us a follow, give me a like on the pictures. All the pictures will be going up. I don't know if they'll all be up before the podcast, because I've got 5 carp and this will be coming out next Friday, and today is Sunday, so I might not have all the pictures up yet, because I don't like to rush them all out, but they will be going up though, to be fair. But anyway, guys, if you go fishing from now until my next podcast, I really hope you catch the fish that you're after, and I hope it all works out for you. Take care of yourself, and thank you so much for the continued support. I'm looking forward to the next podcast already, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting down to Noisy Lake. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys. Thank you so much. Peace, love, and unity. If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.